Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to someone and tell them any moment could be the moment. Yes. Any moment could be the moment. But as I'm standing here looking out at you, I see this sacred, wonderful moment because I'm beholding the beauty and the magnificence of your being. I see it. I'm beholding the beauty and the magnificence of your being. Turn to somebody and tell them you're magnificent. You are magnificent. Magnificent. Yes. Thank you. I received that. Magnificence means it's magnified, right? If you're magnificent, who you are and the essence of your being is magnified. So that everybody who looks upon you can see the light of God in you. You're radiating, right? Magnificent. Yes. God is good. So good. Awesome. Right? God is awesome. God is good. Life is good. Even with all that it contains, life is good. God is good. This past week, Cheryl and I had the opportunity to go to a beautiful retreat center in the Catskills Mountains of New York. And we went, it was hosted by Sister Jenna from the America Meditating Blog Radio Show, which I was on last year. And she just brings like-minded people together from all around the country to have a retreat and to just for those who, she says, who feed others, for us to be fed in a beautiful environment. And anytime I have a chance to engage, you know, in deep meditation, I'm happy about that. Because it felt like, for me, a way to solidify and to integrate all of the teachings and learnings and experience that I had while I was in India a few weeks ago. You know, sometimes you get so much information, it has to settle in your being. You have to integrate it into your consciousness. And so going away for this retreat felt like a good opportunity for me to do that. And especially since there were wonderful times, too, while we had group processes, there was also enough time for me to go into their meditation areas and just abide. It was just delicious. You know, I would get up early in the morning and go and sit, and in the middle of that, go and sit, and in the middle of the processes, go find a place to sit. You know, I'm always extolling the benefits and the importance of the practice of meditation on your spiritual journey. Do I not tell you that all the time? Now, there are a few of you who actually hear me and get the message, but I'm gonna keep on saying it. Because I know that it is something that can, you know, as the old saying goes, heal the sin-sick soul, which means it can heal whatever mistakes, because we see sin as simply error consciousness, right? But it can heal and it can help you to get a new perspective. It helps you to go deeper. It can help you to be centered and balanced. It deepens your life experiences. And it certainly helps you to find all of the attributes and the qualities of the divine. You know, all the good things that we're seeking. And it helps you to meditate, helps you to face whatever life may bring, with the myriad of complexities and challenges that we might find in life, when you have a deep and abiding consciousness and practice of meditation and prayer, it moves you to a very serene inner place. And from that serene and tranquil and centered and steady place within you, you can meet and face anything in the without. Right? That's part of the purpose of it. Because it brings, you know, God closer to your being. And you're balanced and centered. So I was bringing back all of this balance and centeredness in myself. And upon arriving at my home at the end of the retreat, I realized that I had left my laptop on the airplane. That's okay. You can all... so you can all pray for its successful return. But for a minute, there went my serenity. Right? Because I was like, oh my God, I left my laptop on the plane. And, you know, I did all that. And then all of a sudden, it was like, but you know what? All is well. It's okay. I went through the proper channels of filling out the report and all of that stuff. And I really am at a place where I would like for it to return, but if it does not, so be it. Move on, get a new laptop, and life goes on. But I was at a point of asking myself, how did that happen, and what did I do? You see, I was so busy wanting to retrieve my carry-on luggage that was in an overhead bin behind my seat. Because when I got to my seat, somebody had filled up all the bins. So I had to find open space behind my seat, right? And you know how it is when you get up, when the plane taxis, everybody gets up. And I knew there was going to be a sea of people, and it was going to be hard for me to get back there to get my luggage. So I was so busy trying to make sure that I could get back to that bin to get my luggage, to be what was behind me, that I inadvertently left the laptop that was in front of me in the seat, right? And so, you know, I'm thinking, wow, what could I have done and how did that happen? And I think the point is that I was preoccupied. I was preoccupied. I wasn't present. I was preoccupied and I was distracted, right, by this thought of trying to get the luggage in back of me, and I forgot to focus on what was right in front of me. Have you ever had that experience, right? You ever been lost in thought that you actually missed the obvious that's right in front of you? You know, something is showing up, and you don't see it because you're someplace else, you know? Or you get so caught up in one thing that you actually really miss what's important and of value and vital for you. You miss what you should be seeing. Last week, I quoted our master teacher and way shower, Jesus the Christ, when he said, "What does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world but lose his soul?" Right? We talked about that last week, and the importance of maintaining and developing your soul, right? And since, you know, your soul is of utmost importance to you, to your spiritual journey and to your progress, I thought there's a question that we should probably often ask ourselves. And the question is, how can you tell if you have lost your soul, right? Because some of us think, you know, we got it going on. And truth be told, we might have lost that which is of utmost importance to us. How can you tell if you have lost your soul? And I began to think, I said, well, certainly, I think you would have some telltale signs that would show up in your life. Like feeling empty inside, you know, or maybe feeling disconnected or disconnected from life, disconnected from other people. Or you might also experience purposelessness. That's a mouthful. Purposelessness, meaning what's the purpose of my life? What is this all about? You know, has no meaning for me, lack of meaning in your life. You might even find yourself in a depressed state. Or maybe you are experiencing lawlessness. See, when you don't have a soul, lawlessness can take place, or the ability to harm others. Because you're not connected to your soul. And we know people, we've seen people who we say don't have a conscience, right? Which means they don't have an awareness of a deepening of something that is connecting them to the goodness of life. Something's missing. And so, you know, it can show up in a whole host of other ways. The point is that we can probably look back at our lives, and maybe if we could see that there's some negativity at work, it might be an indication that we need to examine the quality of our soul. Garbage in, garbage out. And so we might be functioning in this state of being lost, a lost soul. And after a while, we begin to become lost in life. Life loses its meaning. It loses its zest. It loses its zeal. And we are lost. We lose our direction. We lose our connection. I like to say, you know, we're looking for life sometimes in all the wrong places. Not love, but life itself. See, maybe this will make me feel alive. I'll try this. I'll try that. You know, I'll go hang gliding. Or I'll try some altered substance. Whatever it is, we're looking for life in all the wrong places. And after a while, we may become cynical or jaded or uninspired with life. So at some point, friends, we need to find ourselves. We need to find life, or to find love, or to find peace, or the fruit of the Spirit, whatever it is. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So we might need to find ourselves. And the quickest way that I think that you can find yourself is to find God. See, if the quickest way to find yourself, which means to find your connection, to find that sense of love, peace, joy, wisdom, harmony, whatever the fruit of the Spirit is that you are seeking, that you think is going to bring a sense of fulfillment, is to find God. So we, you know, if we're going to do this, you know, where are we looking and where are we searching? Because if you can somehow focus all of your seeking onto God, all of those things that you think you don't have, those things that you think you have lost, will somehow be returned to you, returned to your spirit, all right? If we can seek God first. And you know all of this concept of the seeking. You know, usually when we feel that we have a sense of feeling lost, when we actually begin to seek God, all of that dissipates and we return to center. Seek ye first, right, the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. This is such a familiar verse. I quote it many, many times throughout the year. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. How many of you have heard that verse? We know it by heart. We hear it over and over and over again. And I believe that it clearly points to a formula. A formula for what most folks are interested in. It's a formula for the added unto you. Because we're mostly interested, right, in the things that are going to be added unto us. And let's be honest. This is about honesty. We're looking for the things. Okay, I got that seeking the kingdom, but I want the added unto me. I want the goodies. But it's a formula, you see. And it starts with the first part, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Now, seeking isn't really a problem for us because, as I said, we know how to seek good things, right? You're seeking some prosperity, are you not? You're seeking love. We can seek love. We can seek health and happiness. We don't have a problem with seeking things. Is there anybody here not seeking any of those things? We are. Let's be honest. But the challenge, therefore, is not necessarily in the seeking of these things, but it is in the where we are seeking. That's where we have a challenge. It says, the formula says, seek ye first. So we know that it's okay to seek, but we got to get clear on where it is we're seeking. And it says, right, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God, and then all of these things will be added unto you. So it is the seeking of this kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven consciousness. And when you seek this kingdom of heaven consciousness, then all of these things will be added unto you. So what I'm thinking is, Charles Fillmore says that the seeking that we're seeking is really this kingdom of heaven consciousness. It's not the place. See, most people, because they think it's a place, they say, well, I'm not ready to go to heaven just yet, so I'm not going to be seeking it. But we're talking consciousness. Well, because in tradition, right, you're taught that. But we're saying, seek ye the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God consciousness, the kingdom of heaven consciousness. It is a state of consciousness. And Mr. Fillmore says this in The Revealing Word about the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God speaks to the Christ consciousness. So, and then he says, or the kingdom of heaven, which is the realm of divine ideas. The kingdom of heaven, a high state of consciousness. Heaven is a high state of consciousness. It is the realm of divine ideas, right? He says, which are producing their expression in perfect harmony. It is within man. The kingdom of heaven is within man. And then he defines the kingdom within us as this. He said, it is the realm in man's consciousness where he knows and understands God. So I see this seeking the kingdom of heaven as a prompting to go within first. We are so conditioned to go without first. So this is a prompting to go within first. So what it says to me is that for anything that you are seeking in the outer, or whatever it is, even if it's a thing, you must go within first, right? That is, look within. We have to do some soul searching. Because your soul is the sum total of your consciousness. It's the sum total of your awareness, right? And so we're spirit, soul, and body. A spiritual nature, we have our soul nature, which is spirit, mind, body, the thinking nature, and then we have the body, the physical realm. So we've got to do some soul searching, some consciousness work inside. Now, I always tell you that you are all good metaphysicians. Now, as a metaphysician, which is meta and beyond, meaning the ability to seek and look beyond the physical. We're not literalists. We go beyond to what lies underneath that thing that we're looking at. So a real metaphysician is really good at taking a manifest or a material thing and seeing what it represents spiritually, so that the spiritual element can be the thing that we focus on within. Follow? Yes, yeah, so it's the spiritual element that you want to focus on within. This is what a metaphysician does. It tries to find, a metaphysician will find the corresponding spiritual quality or thought or essence behind the thing that we desire. So you would train yourself to ask yourself, what is the corresponding quality that this thing represents? Because I want to get to what it represents, not necessarily what it is. What lies behind the thing that I want? The essence, the quality, the nature of its being. So let's say that you want or you're looking for a job. Taking something practical, you're looking for a job. Now, you could go, God, could you give me a job? And we're laughing because sometimes we approach God with this very simplistic, right? The Bible says ask, and so we ask God, can you give me a job, right? We just ask directly for the thing that we want. The challenge is, however, is that you may not have the consciousness for the thing that you're asking for. Because consciousness is everything. And there's a phrase that we like to say in New Thought. Whatever you have by right of consciousness. So you could go, God, give me $1 million. But do you have the consciousness for $1 million? If you do, more power to you. It'll probably manifest in your life. But if you do not, it will not manifest. See, sometimes our prayers are void and empty of the consciousness behind it, the faith behind it. We pray, we speak, we ask, we affirm, but we do so from an empty vessel, an empty consciousness, right? We're not asking with complete faith and belief that I know that this thing is possible because I own this thought, I own this feeling, I own this belief. I'm going to speak these words because they're my words. I know they'll manifest. You have consciousness for it. But most of the time we'll pray and at the very same time we will dilute and refute and nullify or whatever it is we've even asked for with some doubt. Well, I'm not sure, but okay. God, can you give me a job? Can you give me a job? Could you give me a job? And then at the very same time, I know things are difficult out here. We're down, this is an economic downturn in our society. There's, you know, the paper says it's hard to find a job. There are people with PhDs looking for a job. I know it's difficult. Well, why are you even praying and asking? You don't have the consciousness for the thing you're asking for. And if by chance you do manage to manifest it, it's going to be a temporary find. Because you can manifest things, but it's temporary. Because if you don't have the consciousness, you cannot hold it. You cannot keep it. So you'll probably lose what you have found. Bring me the right and perfect person, my mate. And the next thing you know, you might be in a relationship 6 months, a year, gone. Can't keep it. Consciousness is everything. So if you want a job, then you have to maybe go for the qualities that that job represents to you. Go for the qualities. So if I'm asking God, can you give me a job? Maybe I need to focus on what the corresponding spiritual elements of finding a job might do for me. It might bring me a sense of security. So instead of asking for a job, I might need to work on my sense. Well, do I feel secure in the world, in the universe? Do I have an outlook that says the universe and everything in the universe is conspiring for my good? I am secure in God, whether I have a physical job or not. At this point, I'm secure in God. Do you have that consciousness? It might mean that you have to have a consciousness of abundance. You want a job because you need that. You want that abundance that having a job might represent for you. So instead of focusing on the job, you might say, how's my prosperity consciousness? Do I feel I am abundant in my life? Is my abundant coming from within, or am I seeing it coming from the channel of this job only? What's my source and my connection? Or maybe I want this job because it'll give me an opportunity to be of service. Maybe my spirit wants to be a blessing. I want to be blessed, but I also want to be a blessing. Maybe that's the spiritual quality, that I'm a blessing. I need to give out of my being. Maybe it's on creativity. Maybe I have all of this creative expression that I want to share with others. That's why I'm seeking a job. See, find the quality or the essence that you are seeking behind the thing you want. And then you call that into your heart and soul, not the thing. Because this is the secret here. Here it is. Spiritual qualities and divine ideas are what dwell in the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is not filled with things. It is not a big storehouse in the sky, a warehouse with all your cars and houses. And can you pull one down for mm-mm? God's kingdom is not filled with things. It is filled with what? Divine ideas. Divine ideas that lie in back of everything. You get that? It's the substance of God as a divine idea, which stands under substance, stands under everything as a divine idea. The only thing that is lasting and eternal is a divine idea. Anything formed will dissipate, right? But the idea of it can never be destroyed. So what you're seeking is a divine, not just any kind of idea, you want a divine idea. Because divine ideas are powerful. They come complete within themselves with everything needed to fulfill themselves and beyond. They are infinite. They're everlasting. They're creative. They have this wonderful ability to keep growing and unfolding exponentially. How many ideas are there for a house? Infinite. You can create as many forms of a house as you can hold the idea. See, it grows and it unfolds and it expands. The kingdom of heaven is expanding, it's expansion, it's growing. These ideas are filled with potential to unfold in a myriad of ways. So Mr. Filmer used to say, if you want to catch something, you need to catch you a divine idea. Because if you got one of those, ooh, you have something, right? So this thing that we're seeking, whatever it is, it's within. The answers you're seeking lie within you. Divine guidance is always at your disposal. The answers you are seeking to the questions in your life are within you. The desires that you want are within you. Everything begins within. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, was where? Within you. So all of those feelings of discontentment or disconnection or despair or lack or emptiness or confusion or unhappiness, they're just symptoms. Symptoms of a lost soul. And if you want to find yourself, you're going to have to do some soul searching. Some soul searching. Search your consciousness. Stop looking out here for what's wrong and start going within and searching your own being and seeing if you are primarily focused on the outer realm. Your solutions you think are in the outer realm. Right? The material realm. And if you keep your focus on the outer realm for the solutions to your life, you're going to come up empty. You will come up empty. So we practice searching within, going within, tapping divine ideas within so that we might find the fulfillment of our lives. But the fulfillment comes from within. The word enthusiasm means to what be filled with God. Filled with God. See, when you can tap the God essence and God presence within you, that dynamic, creative, life-affirming, life-giving essence of God that lies within you, when you tap that, your whole being begins to be lifted up with enthusiasm, filled with spirit. Your soul begins to come alive. You see, you begin to live an inspired life, not a depressed life, not a life of sadness and unhappiness and lack and limitation, but an inspired life. And to be inspired also means to be what? Filled with the spirit, to be in spirit, inspirited. I'm going to make that a word. I'm not just inspired, I'm inspirited. I'm filled with the Spirit, and my life begins to take on new meaning, new energy, meaning, purpose, guidance, direction. All those things begin to unfold, and my potential, your potential, begins to find expression in you. You find more of yourself, more peace, more joy, more fulfillment. So, beloved ones, if you want to find yourself living a more complete life, do a little soul searching. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. See the truth in back of all things. See not what is missing in your life, but see what will give your life meaning and purpose. Seek, the Bible says, all those who seek him shall find him. Seek and see, and you will not be lost, but found. Happy soul searching. Blessings and namaste. Blessings and namaste. Blessings. Namaste.